Hi, Nancy.
What's that?
Well, through the wonder of recording technology, my voice has been doubled. Do you think this is a good sound for the program?
Honestly, I think it's a little confusing.
I guess you're right. Okay, Justin, you can turn it off. Is that better?
Absolutely. I can actually understand you now.
Okay, so a doubled voice, maybe not so good, but a double gift to revive our hearts? Now that is very good.
Now I see what you're getting at, Dana. All this month, some friends of Revive Our Hearts have been doubling each donation as part of a matching challenge amount. And let me just say, it's been so encouraging to watch many of our listeners respond to that challenge. But we still need help meeting the entire challenge amount.
That challenge ends tomorrow, so if the Lord has laid it on your heart to give, we need to hear from you soon.
And Dan, I hope that many more of our listeners will be prompted by the Lord to give a special year-end gift to the ministry of Revive Our Hearts between now and the end of the day tomorrow. If the Lord's putting on your heart to make a gift, you can visit us at reviveourhearts.com. And that's where you can get the most up-to-date information about where we are on this challenge. Or you can call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959.
And remember, there's only one day left to turn this into this. Hey, I like this. I should go home and show Bob. If only there were two of me, one could do the cleaning and the laundry.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, co-author of You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. For December 30th, 2019, I'm Dana Gresh. Last week, we heard the first two parts of a conversation Nancy had with a retired pastor and his wife. Tom and Diana Eliff live in Oklahoma. Each of them was married for decades. Each of them widowed. We'll hear more about that today. When we left off last time, Tom had just mentioned that God allows us to go through difficult times so we can experience His comfort. And then, after we've experienced it for ourselves, we can turn around and comfort others. It's a principle found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's Nancy with more.
Robert and I saw this as we talked with so many people who were the stories we told in the book, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. And a lot of them had experiences we hadn't had, or they were different than ours. And they were like gut-wrenching conversations because a lot of them they're not fixed yet. The husband hasn't come back, or the prodigal hasn't come back. And these are people who are trusting God. Some of them, our friend Tom, our mutual friend John Reford, who was on our staff for many years, came to know Jesus under your ministry. And Robert and I sat in John and Tammy's home and interviewed them for this book. And 3 weeks later, we were at John's funeral. They talked about trusting God when you're dying. So as Robert and I listened to a lot of these stories, we would come away and it kind of took our breath away because these were people who had such a rich, grace-filled, beautiful spirit about them, even ones who were still in the midst of suffering and couldn't see the outcome. And we would almost look longingly at them as we would talk about it afterwards and we'd think, we want to have that kind of deep trust in God, that love for Him, that disconnectedness from the things of this world that we saw in these people. But then we reminded ourselves, here's what it's taking to get them there.
That's right.
And it's not that we haven't been through hard things. We have. But we're in a sweet season right now. And we just realize as we look to the future, having no idea what that looks like for us, what our health will be, what end-of-life issues will be, what financial, whatever. But we realize as we watch these people, you can trust God. And if you're trusting Him now with the piece of the story you're living right now, then you're going to have the grace when you get to that hard part.
Yeah, and you brought up a very important point a few moments ago, Nancy, and that is that we've been talking about things which had an ending. Someone passes away, a house blows away. But I would imagine that many of your listeners are living with an ongoing, painful, long-term, perplexing issue that they are having to live with.
Yeah.
You mentioned a child that is rebellious, or a family breakup that's just ongoing and has all kinds of painful ramifications.
Yeah.
God is still God, and His providence is just as certainly at work in that as it is in any of these other situations. It's just a matter of our reaching up, taking Him by the hand, and aggressively cooperating with Him. He's not obligated to tell us what He's going to do, but when He does, as we read the Scripture, we can cooperate with Him. And the way to take that step is just to say, you know, I'm going to bury myself in the Word of God, and if I can't do anything else, I can know God. I can know more about God, more of Him, experience more of Him now today than I did yesterday, and I'm going to be content with that at this point.
I'm thinking as you're talking, Tom, of those three Hebrew young men in the fire, and they didn't know the outcome. You know, they said, we're going to serve our God, we're going to worship Him, we're not going to worship this pagan king. If He kills us, if you kill us, we die, but we're still going to serve God. And if He rescues us, that's great, but if not, we're still going to serve Him. So in the fire they go, which was a certain death sentence. Yeah. But when were they ever closer to Jesus than when that fourth man, like the Son of God, came and walked with them in that furnace and somehow miraculously worked so that when they got out of that furnace, there was no damage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We couldn't write that story.
Mm-hmm. No, and they would never have dreamed it up either. A story like
that.
You can't make that up. They wouldn't have even wished it because it was so ludicrous to even think of that possibility. Neither Diana nor, and I can certainly say for myself, neither of us conceived of marriage after our spouses passed away. We didn't think of that as being on the radar screen.
In fact, can I just tell what you...
Go ahead.
Can I put you on the spot?
I'm going to get under the table right here.
I was watching the live stream of you preaching. I don't know how you did that, but it was magnificent at Jeannie's funeral, and you made quite a statement. I kind of winced when you said it.
Yeah.
I know you remember what it was.
Yeah, I did. I felt that I would never marry. I felt that I was on my way to heaven, and I would see her there, and she'd gone just a little bit before me. I assumed that I would never, ever. It just was beyond comprehension that I would ever remarry.
And you kind of went on the record about that.
I kind of went on the record about that. And it wasn't long after that I called one of my mentors, who was at the time 98 years of age, living in Dallas, Texas. And he's very active. He still runs. He's just a brilliant man, a great, passionate Christian. I said, I need to come talk to you about being single. I said, I'm not doing very good at this. And he said, I'll come see you. He lives in Dallas. I live in Oklahoma City. I said, no, Orville, that's 3.5 hours. He said, well, I have a brand new red Camaro. I want to drive it up there to see you. And so he drove to Oklahoma City. And being a runner like he is still, he's running for a world record next month in the 600 meter. So we went for a walk and sat on a park bench. And I said, Orville, I will never get married. He said, don't say that. I said, well, you didn't get married. He said, well, for Pete's sake, Tom, I was 92 years of age when Esther Beth passed away. He said, why would you get married? I said, well, I see a selfish side of me that I don't like, and that is I've begun making appointments with people to eat lunch. It's not because I have anything to speak into their lives, really. It's just that I don't want to eat lunch by myself. Mm. And he said, well, suppose God brings into your life someone that you can help and someone who wants to help you. And I said, well, in that case, I might get married. And that was in November, and in March the next year, Diane and I went for a walk in the same park, came to the same bench, sat down. I told her that story and dropped to my knee and proposed to her.
The mentor's counsel worked.
Yes, that's right.
Wow. Diana, when your husband went to be with the Lord, did you have any sense of what that future story might look like for you? I know you're in the moment.
Yeah. Not at all. I was so in love with Wayne, and I remember telling him just a few days before he died, I didn't know he was going to go and be with the Lord then. I knew he was very ill. But the ring that I had on my finger at that time, I just looked at him and I said, I just want you to know this ring will never come off my finger because you are my forever husband. And he was so ill, and he looked at me, and he was so sweet-natured, and he said, well, if you go before I do, this ring will never come off my finger. And then a few months later, after Wayne had passed away, when I met Tom, I thought, oh, but I've said that to my husband. But I meant it that day when I said that. And I never anticipated marrying again, because Tom and I both, we could say we were married, I mean, that was our life's mate.
Almost 50 years for both of you.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And so I just never had even thought about it. Then when my late husband, before he passed away, he needed some water, and I took him water, and I was about to walk out of the room, and he looked at me, and he said, Tom Ellis' wife died. And I said, what happened? And he said, I don't know. So
you didn't, it weren't like you were close friends or just knew of them.
No, we just knew of them.
Yeah.
And I walked out of the room and went on about my day and taking care of him and doing things that a wife does around the home. And we had gone to the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center in Asheville, North Carolina. And my husband preached from a wheelchair on a Friday evening. He was really getting crippled at that time. And we went back to our cabin. Our son was there, and our son was able to finish out for his dad. And we went to sleep that evening. Wayne was in a recliner because he couldn't breathe very well, and I was on the sofa. I said to him, I love you. And he said, I love you too, baby. And those were our final words with each other, and woke up the next morning and he was gone. And our son that was there said the sweetest thing to me. He said, Mama, the last face Daddy saw on this earth was yours. And when he opened his eyes, he saw the face of Jesus. And that blessed me so very much.
Yeah. Just, and the same was true of Jeannie. Her last words, she looked up at me there in our home and said, three times she said, love you, love you, love you. And I embraced her and said, I love you. She closed her eyes, and later on that evening, God took her home. I was lying beside her quoting scripture, and the one who loved her more than I gathered her up in his arms and took her home to be to be with him. And so it's not that we never conceived of the relationship that we have now.
Because in the moment of that huge loss, you feel like that's the end of the story.
But God wasn't through with that story.
Well, in the meantime, my daughter and her family had come in, and we had to run an errand. And while we were in the car, she said to me, Mama, Steve Green is coming to Albuquerque.
This is the singer.
Yes, to sing at her for a missions conference. And the moment she said, you need to come. And I said, oh, I'd love to, because just something to look forward to in the future. And I said, I'd love to. I love his voice. I love his heart. And she said, well, Tom Ellis is going to be the missions speaker. And I said, oh, my goodness, Stephanie, your daddy just mentioned his name to me. And she looked at me and she said, her husband's name, Eric. She said, well, Eric and I think Tom would be a good match for you.
And you haven't even buried your husband
yet.
No.
And so just a few days before my husband passed away, he mentioned Tom's name to me. And then before my husband we'd had a celebration service, my daughter mentioned his
name
to me.
And it's not like our lives were, that we had lives that intersected all the time. We scarcely knew of each other.
But God, as
but,
you said.
But God.
That's right.
And then here I was, you know, I would say that the prayer that helped me the most over that year and a half, you know, before Diane and I met, actually, or began talking about this, I've prayed constantly that my conscious sense of Jesus' presence would become larger than my conscious sense of Jeannie's absence. And God honored that prayer.
Hmm.
Christ became bigger and bigger to me. Coming home from the cemetery, I remember thinking, I had sent the kids on home, and I was by myself, and I thought, you know, for the first time in my life on this earth, I'm not the most important person to anyone on this earth.
Wow.
And for the first time in my life, no one is the most important person to me, which is a vulnerable place for a man.
Mm-hmm.
I actually came home, I made a mental list, came home and made 5 phone calls to 5 different men and said, I want to meet with each of you on a separate day of the week. And I did that for over a year. And I said, I want you to hold me accountable. And I had lunch with one on Monday and breakfast with one on Tuesday and then breakfast with my son-in-law on Wednesday. And then I ate in the home of another friend, the Snows, on Thursday. And then on Friday, a friend would call from out of town because I realized I was in a very vulnerable place.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, as I'm captivated with the subject of this program because what you're saying to us, Nancy, is that unknown to us, there is the rest of the story of our lives that God is writing, and we'd like to guess what that might be. We'd like to suppose what it might be, but it is far beyond anything we could ever ask or think, as the Apostle Paul says. Those
mm-hmm.
are our prayers. God is writing this incredibly rich story for the life of every one of our listeners out here. And he does that out of his providence, out of his sovereign love and grace for us. And
which is at times mysterious.
Yes,
it's not.
Absolutely.
If we were writing the story,
that's
thank
right.
God he's not leaving it to us to write.
That's
but if
right.
we were, we wouldn't write it that way. We wouldn't
no.
have cancer
no,
and
no,
ALS
no.
and prolonged singleness and all the other things that make people's
hearts hurt. But nobody would read a book like that either.
Isn't that the truth? Boring.
So, in the end, he's getting the glory to himself by his grace.
And as we've mentioned prior to this, we learn so much from our sorrows and from things that happen to us in life. I'm not telling you this story so that anyone could feel sorry for me because as I've been sitting here thinking about the things that I've shared, there are those that are listening at this very moment that have suffered far greater than I have.
Mm-hmm.
So in saying that, my daddy went to be with the Lord 27 years ago, and I had said to myself and to my late husband, if something happens to my daddy, I cannot live. I can't go on without my daddy. Well, again, the peace of God and the grace of God, the compassion of Christ so rose up within me that while I was at the funeral home with my mama and my siblings, the Lord spoke to my heart in this manner, and he said to me, every godly characteristic that you saw in your daddy, now I want you to take those and live on. Carry those same scriptures, the same heart that he had for God and for God's people. Now you carry that baton on.
Yeah.
So God revealed to my heart as the days went on, as I missed my daddy so much, that yes, in Christ Jesus, I would go on. I could live this life apart from my daddy. And then the same with my baby and then with my husband. And as I look back over my life, there have been times with Tom, and God has put such a love in our hearts for one another, a
mm-hmm.
love that we never expected we would ever experience
right.
again. There have been times that the thought has come to my mind, oh, what would I do if something happens to Tom?
Mm-hmm.
And it is as if the Lord just stops me right there. And I have never taken it, Tom, beyond that thought because I know God's grace is sufficient because it always is.
And in that moment, it
oh,
will
yes,
be.
Yes, that's right. And I don't want anything to happen to Tom, but we have fewer years left in our life to live with one another than we did with our spouses. So we are seeking to cherish the days
mm-hmm.
that God gives us together.
Mm-hmm.
But it is just so sweet to know the verse in the scriptures where it says, God will cause us to persevere. He didn't say, I'm going to persevere in my own strength. But God will cause us to persevere, meaning that no matter what
that's
happens—
That's his grace, too.
Yes. No matter what happens in our lives, he will cause us to continue to walk on in him. And he's loving us all the while, all the time. He's loving us. And I was telling a group of people yesterday in the Bible when it speaks of the fact that we are poor and needy, but God is merciful and gracious, and His mercy, as it is fresh every morning, will be with us every step of the way of our journey.
And then you think of that end of Psalm 23, that goodness and mercy will accompany me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think something we have to remember in the hard parts of the story is that this isn't the end, that there is a beautiful end to look forward to. And Tom, we're sitting here and I'm thinking of your nephew, Josh, and his sweet wife, Andrea, who went through that horrific bout with cancer, multiple surgeries, multiple treatments. I'm sure you remember this. When Josh would send updates about how Andrea was doing, and they were hard, there was no good news for the longest time, but he would always sign them, "The best is yet to come."
The best is yet to come, exactly.
The best is yet to come.
And we can say that when life is at its worst, as well as when life is going well. I have a personal friend who lives in a country which I cannot mention to you, whose father took the life of his daughter. Now, this is a grandfather taking the life of a granddaughter.
Wow.
Because he was afraid she was going to become a Christian. He saw her daddy reading the scripture to her. Horrible. How could you do that? And yet, through that, my friend has persevered by the grace of God. He is one of the fathers of one of the fastest growing church planting movements on the planet right now, with people by the thousands turning their hearts to Christ. He would not in any way have been able to persevere had he not believed in the providence of God. Yes, there is more to this story than what happened here. How do I live this out? He would be a hard, embittered, angry person.
As many people are.
And many people are. But instead, he released that to God, and it has become so much a part of his story that it became a part of an incredible movement of God where he lives. Well, those are people who live a life that a faith that I know not of, I will tell you. But
of whom the world is not worthy.
The world is not worthy. And yet, at the same time, their God is my God. And in that same instance, my God will be just as gracious to me as he was to my friend and to his family.
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
And you know what? Even when you're enjoying you as in your new marriage, Robert and me in our new marriage, this is a really sweet season for us. And it's still good to remind ourselves that this is not the best. It's wonderful, and it's wonderful, sweet, following a lot of pain. But the best
is yet to come.
Is yet to come.
Yes.
So when we can't see, which we can't, we trust.
Yes.
That's right.
We trust the character, the name, the heart of our faithful God.
I believe it was Helen Roosevelt, that missionary doctor in Central Africa, whose life and testimony ultimately broke the back of a rebellion and brought a great sweeping move of God's Spirit. But only after a horrible incident in which she was totally humiliated, abused physically, morally, emotionally,
sexually,
it is an experience that I cannot even describe on the radio. But she said, as I lay there on the ground and all this was taking place, God said, "Do you trust me enough to thank me for something I may never give you the privilege of understanding?"
Yes.
He was writing the story. And of course, later when she told that story, suddenly the crowd that surrounded her, the mob that wanted her life, began to weep, and brokenness, and God moved in. and moved on with the message of the gospel.
Do you trust me enough to give me thanks
for something I may never give you the privilege of understanding?
This side of heaven, we may not, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
Wow. Well, I know there are a lot of people who are listening to us right now who are in the middle of one of those really hard places, maybe financial. And we could tell stories all day sitting at this table of in these different categories, but financial pain and loss, physical ailments, addictions, longing for a mate, the longing for a child that's unfulfilled, the loss of a child, just so many. We've talked about some of those. But my hope is that as you've been listening to this conversation with Tom and Diana Eliff, that your heart is saying, Lord, thank you that you can be trusted to write my story. When I can't see the outcome, it's not neat, it's not clean from this perspective, but I believe that you are good, you are God, you are writing this story, and I'm going to trust you with it. And that may be all you can do, but that's a lot. And I'm hoping there's that kind of experience and heart conversation with the Lord is happening with many listeners right now. Tom, you've prayed for a lot of people over at funerals and in hard places, and you've had people do that for you in your hard places. I want us to join together, but if you would just lead us in praying for those listeners who are in a hard place right now, that God will minister that tailor-made grace. And we're joining hands here at this table and going to ask God for that.
Father, we are joining hands, we're joining hearts, and we wish like crazy that we could reach out through these radio waves and touch the hand and the heart of each person who's listening right now. Because, Lord, we live in a world that has gone wrong. It is a world that is spiraling seemingly out of control, and we talk about things that have happened to us and what we've seen you do in the midst of that and writing our stories. And yet, Lord, we know that there are those out there in the audience who could almost snort and say, boy, they don't know the half of it. And yet, Lord, you are their God too. And you have every ability and are using it to write the story of their life as they trust in you, Heavenly Father. We thank you that all the paths of the Lord are good and true to those who love you, to those who trust in you. Father, we're grateful for that. We thank you for your mercy, Heavenly Father. We pray for those who right now say, well, those are really good stories, and I'm glad to hear those, but if only I can make it through the balance of the evening. And you've said to us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Oh, God, keep their hearts and their minds focused on you. You are writing the story, Heavenly Father, and in the end, it will all redound to your grace and your glory, because in the end, the resurrected Christ will say to the entire universe, yes, I not only can create that which is perfect, I can fix that which is broken.
Amen.
And so, Lord, touch and mend broken hearts right now. I pray in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Tom Eliff has been praying for all of us who are facing difficulties and challenges. And let's face it, that's most of us. We're all facing some sort of challenge, and I know so many of us have been encouraged by the conversation today. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth has been talking with Tom and Diana Eliff about the providence of God. It goes along the theme of the book by Nancy and her husband Robert, You Can Trust God to Write Your Story. It's something we've talked about a lot on Revive Our Hearts this year. Nancy and I have interviewed a lot of people who know what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, but they've discovered the Lord walking with them. Now, if you've missed any of those conversations, listen to them in the archives at reviveourhearts.com. And if you've never done that, please know that there are some classic series in those archives. You'll find some of the best teaching from Nancy, and also some hard-hitting interviews like the one you just heard today. They're all available for you to download or stream at reviveourhearts.com. Now, all these programs are made possible by listeners who support the ministry. And here's another reminder about what we talked about at the beginning of the program. When you donate today or tomorrow, your gift will be doubled as part of a matching challenge. This is an amazing opportunity we don't want to miss. So would you pray about how the Lord would have you give? Then visit reviveourhearts.com by tomorrow or call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. 2019 has been a tumultuous year in so many ways. Tomorrow, Nancy will open the Bible and show us how Jesus is our peace and how we can rest in Him for the year ahead. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagelmuth points you to the true hope in Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.